Airbnb wants you to be a host. As the ancient Greeks said, be aware of strangers bearing gifts. In this episode, Mike Riley and Mike Ferrante discuss the pros and cons of short-term rentals and should you be putting all your eggs in the Airbnb basket. They also discuss hiring a consultant to guide you through the maze of short-term rentals. Yes, kind of an infomercial, but worth listening to. Stay tuned for the Cleveland Real Estate Investor Podcast.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Riley on our Thanksgiving edition of the Cleveland Real Estate Investor. And once again, my partner in real estate ventures, Mike Ferrante. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be here.
And as we always do, the caffeinated level for you currently?
Just a couple sips of my first soy cappuccino of the day.
Okay. I remember, for those of a certain age, a group called Fire Sign Theater, and there was a, this is back in the 70s, and they did, I guess, some Lone Ranger was with Tonto, and Tonto gave him some peyote, and in about 30 seconds, the Lone Ranger had a reaction to it, and he said something like, which way did they go? So I'm waiting for that caffeine to take effect with you, Mike.
You're definitely dating yourself with that one. That's before my time.
I know, way before your time. But we're not going to get into my all-time favorite comedy album, which was Richard Pryor's Craps, but that's X-rated. So,
yeah.
Anyways, so it's the Thanksgiving. It's Saturday here. It's a beautiful sunny day in Cleveland. We had a great Thanksgiving weather, 50s and sunny. For those who are not familiar with Cleveland winters, usually we get lake effect snow because the lake is warm, and then we get those Canadian cold fronts move through. They pick up snow. They dump us on the east side of Cleveland for lake effect. You know, you saw Buffalo just had like 7 feet a week ago. And then, of course, in Christmas time, the lake is frozen over, so we just get like drizzly rain. So we get a white Thanksgiving and a wet Christmas. Right, Mike?
That's pretty much it. Yep. And lucky the wind was blowing the direction it was, because that 7 feet of snow could have been us, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So anyways, all right. So it's not Black Friday. It's, I don't know, what do they call it? Gray Saturday, but it's a sunny day. Boy, you know what? We blow up a lot of myths and cliches on this podcast, but one of the biggest myths is this Black Friday, you know, like you're getting these big deals. My wife and I went out last night to our club, country club, where they allow us to, you know, they allow you to just bring in a bottle if you want. So we brought this bottle in that she got, this $38 bottle that was marked down to $19 at the grocery store, bottle of you know, it's a bottle of red blend. And of course, we looked up on it on drizzly.com, and guess how much it was, Mike?
38
marked up. $20. No, I'm sorry, 19. So it was marked down to what the real price was. So,
yeah.
But speaking of buyer beware, let's talk a little bit about the synergy between Thanksgiving, holidays, and running your own little Airbnb, and some general tips of what you should be aware of. So, Mike, lead us off with that story you read.
Oh, yes. So it's a commercial. There's an Airbnb commercial that's airing. Not sure if you guys have seen this one yet, but essentially it's Airbnb pitching the idea of starting your own Airbnb rental business. And essentially what they're offering is some kind of consultation, coaching, you know, on getting your first Airbnb up and running. I forget exactly what they call it, but that's what it is. It's, you know, hey, thinking about getting into the Airbnb rental business, we can help. So
no, they
Airbnb
can't.
Is
they can't
pitching
help.
Their own product.
They can't help you. They can't help you, folks. They, You know, it's all a scam. Trust me. What your general thoughts on Airbnb?
Well, yeah, so it's kind of like those investment gurus who say, hey, pay me $50, pay me $300, and I'll show you my system for investing in real estate. You know, I'm not a big believer in those systems. I think that you get yourself a mentor and, you know, learn from other people who've done it. And that's the way you do it. I don't think you have to pay $300 to learn how to do this stuff. But, you know, I'm seeing Airbnb, Mike, I'm amazed at the income compared to a yearly or you know, multi-year traditional lease type situation. I'm just amazed at the difference. And sure, there's some extra labor that goes into it, which, you know, you can talk about that more than I can. But the way that you're leveraging properties with this short-term rental model, you know, I'm seeing triple, quadruple the income that you see from traditional rentals.
Right. Well, you've seen, we've been doing that for years, right?
Yeah. I mean, I watch you do it. I have yet to dip my toe in the water of Airbnb, Mike. I'll be honest. I still have all traditional rentals, and I watch you do it, and I keep looking at my portfolio saying, I wonder if one of my rentals could become an Airbnb. And so far, I haven't pulled the trigger.
Well, you know, folks, let me give you my own personal experience with Airbnb. It's kind of like divulging the secret sauce here. First of all, when you talk about Airbnb, lesson number one, don't trust Airbnb. Don't put all your marbles into one basket here with Airbnb. There's VRBO, that's another platform. And there's also other platforms out there. Some are good, some are bad. I mean, if you want to get the inside scoop on that, that's where we charge you. I mean, we have a consulting service for people who want to set up their own Airbnb. It's $150 an hour, and trust me, it's worth it. Especially if you're out of the Cleveland area, because I don't want to give these secrets away for free. But I'll give you a little taste test, like Mrs. Fields cookies, Mike. So
right.
here's a little Mrs. Fields cookie for you. When you think of Airbnb, that's like thinking of Xerox. Okay, it used to be, you know, 20, 30 years ago, if you wanted to make a copy, you would say, I'm going to Xerox this. And Airbnb is the same thing. It's a catch-all phrase for, you know, short-term rental, short-term
right.
furnished rental, right? Okay. Now, when you think of Airbnb, most people think in terms of vacation homes, weekends, you know, especially Thanksgiving. We had a surge come in, you know, for 4 days, you know, people wanted to get together as families, and that's where Airbnb is a perfect venue where you can get everybody together staying at one house. Maybe they're all not sleeping there, but they sure can get together for Thanksgiving dinner, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But the real key to Airbnb being your rental is the phrase short term. And short term could be 2 months, 3 months, could be 6 months, could be somebody in there going to the hospital for surgery, somebody who had a fire damage their house, somebody who's just coming into Cleveland for a couple months, relocating and needs to buy a house. There is a variety of reasons why people want to rent short term, and you can charge double what you would get for your monthly rent easily if you want to go the short-term route. And you'll be surprised at how occupied those houses are going to be, because there is a huge need for short-term rentals. Your thoughts, Mike?
Yeah. So, of course, putting my real estate broker hat on, you know, as I watch that Airbnb commercial, you know, from the company Airbnb, and I hear you talk, when I put my broker hat on, I think about all the other ways that there are to get people in your houses. And of course, you know me, Mike, I'm a networker, a relationship sort of marketer. And so all my real estate friends out there, all the realtors who listen to us, if you don't have your own Mike Riley in your market where you can network with that person, it's such a valuable resource. You've got a client who says, well, I need to buy, but in the short term, where do I stay? You need to be the broker of knowledge in your market, you know, so you're telling your clients, well, here, call these folks. They have short-term rentals. They'll set you up. And then, you know, you continue the home search. Likewise, if you are an owner of Airbnbs or VRBOs, your short-term rentals, I think that the realtor community in your area is such a valuable resource because these are folks who need your product and don't even know that they need it. You know, they just think, well, you know what? My client comes in, they need a rental for a month. They'll figure it out. Well, no, you need to tell them where to go and create value by making those connections.
Well, I'll give you another example of the incompetence, because that's what you're saying. For a lot of people, they don't even know this exists. You know, a realtor won't even think about, you know, a short-term rental. Position your client in this house for a period of time as they go looking for that house to buy. So they're not even thinking about that. But the incompetency among the medical establishment, the Cleveland Clinic, is extraordinary. They do nothing to help people find short-term rentals. We talked to them a couple of years ago, before COVID. You know, Lindsay went down, met with some people, and told them about how we have these properties in Forest Hill, their first floor master suites, their ranches, they're close to the clinic. And these people basically yawned or patted around the head and say, well, we'll get back to you. Meanwhile, people coming in for a heart transplant, people coming in for cancer therapy, whatever, the clinic does nothing to help them find a place to stay. I mean, they'll make hundreds of thousands of dollars on the medical procedures, and you would think they would want to at least facilitate this. But again, no. And we're getting a lot of our tenants, our short-term tenants, coming for, you know, medical treatments. And that's a huge part of our rental market. It's not weekend vacations. It's those two-month, one-month, two-month, three-month stays, you know, coming into Cleveland for that specialized care that the Cleveland Clinic gives.
Yeah, it's a shame that establishments like that and more real estate agents and brokers don't take the approach of, instead of, it's not my problem, they'll figure it out, how can I offer a full package of value? You know, so you're coming here for surgery, let's say, or cancer treatment or whatever, you would think that the clinic would want to be more proactive and make the whole experience easier for the family. You're already dealing with these huge health problems. The last thing you want to be worrying about is, where am I going to stay? Where is my family going to stay so that they can be here with me for that month or 3 weeks, you know, whatever it is. And it's the same thing with real estate agents. The other big group that I thought of as I was listening to you talk about this, Mike, is builders. You know, a lot of times the builders will have a house that they'll rent out, but they don't have a lot of short-term housing available for people waiting for construction to finish. And of course, new construction is still booming. But you know, the builders, that's the other group that your short-term rental landlord should be networking with.
Right. Well, you know what, when you get into, when people start thinking of Airbnb, you're competing with hotels.
Right.
So when you look at how much to charge, look at what a hotel would charge for a one bedroom. You know, usually, you know, if it's extended, say, it's going to be around $100 a day, right? For, you know, and that's a pretty budget motel.
Yeah, that's
hotel.
Cheap, yeah.
So maybe 150, and you got a little kitchenette or something, but that's just one bedroom. So imagine people that have a family of five, they're going to need at least two bedrooms. So now you're looking at 300 a night. 300 a night times 30, that's $9,000. So now you're not going to necessarily charge $9,000 for the month, but it gives you a sense of scale of your revenues, because I always use the figure that we have to make triple of what we would have made on a long-term rental in terms of pricing. Okay, so that's cookie number one. Everybody got a taste of that. If you want more, you got to pay. Okay, you got to call us and we'll walk you through as your consultant. Let me dive into cookie number two, which is beware the scamsters that are out there. And we've had our few, and it's breathtaking the amount of scams that are out there. People will contact you, give you a sob story, violin, my dad's going into the clinic and this and that. We had this case happen a couple months ago. We got scammed, and one of our people in the office was handling it. And his father was Amish. Of course, they don't have credit cards. But I'll bring over I'll give you wiring instructions, you know, stuff like that. Well, here's what happened. The wiring instructions took 3 days. Meanwhile, this guy's in our house and still hasn't paid anything. And then, of course, when the wire instructions 2 or 3 days later came back, wrong number, he goes, oh, whoops, I gave you the wrong account. Gave our person another number, and that took 3 days. And by that time, he was gone. So basically, he stayed in our house for a week and just played us like a drum. And we later found out that, you know, this guy had pulled this around town, you know, before. So the number one rule to avoid scamsters is, A, make sure the money is in your account digitally, physically, whatever you want to call it, it is in your account. And number two, because it's a big cookie here, number two, make sure your account is set up so it has, what do they call those, double key codes, where nobody could come in and yank your money out. Now, we have our account set up where whoever writes the check has to get somebody who doesn't have check writing authority to okay that amount of money going out of the account. And we use that to protect us against embezzling, former employees making a copy of a check forgery, scamsters. But we've had, Mike, we had VRBO a year ago, some Karen type, rented from us, stayed there 29 days out of her 30-day stay, and saw a mouse, freaked out, and used that as a pretext wanting to get her whole refund back. She was there for 29 days, literally, and she wanted all her money back, $3,000. And VRBO actually tried to go into our account and yank it out.
Wow.
And guess what? They couldn't, because our accounts were locked tight. And then they called us and they said, well, you either give this lady her money back or we'll drop you. What do you think my response was?
Bye-bye.
Yeah, good. Thank you. Drop us, please. Drop it. I don't want to get your Karen type tenants in our properties. Your thoughts, Mike?
Hey, let's stop here. We got to pay some bills. 30 seconds, and we'll be back. If you've been listening to this podcast, then you understand or should understand the pitfalls of investing in Cleveland real estate. Say you're looking for an investment property to rent, and these are the things that could happen and often do. You overpay for a house, and it's in the ghetto. Then you find that it's a money pit with endless surprise repairs. Your hapless property manager, who may be the brother-in-law of the realtor, gets a tenant who after 3 months stops paying the rent. Then the toilet explodes, and you have nobody to repair it because, guess what? The property manager is not answering the phone. Yep, that's the ugly side of the Cleveland real estate market. But we have a solution. Buy one of our properties. It's been inspected. It's been vetted. It's in a rock solid part of town. It comes with a gold star tenant paying top dollar rent. And we manage it. Call us at 216-371-8160 if you're interested.
Well, I can't argue with that at all. You know, go back and listen to our previous podcast about a year, year and a half ago. The customer is not always right. Remember that one?
Oh, well, yeah, I have a couple like that. But sometimes the customer is an idiot. Sometimes the customer is a pathological liar. Sometimes the customer is a thief. So, yeah, don't. And you know what, folks? If you have an Airbnb, believe me, those scented candles and little soaps in the basket, you know, with the little fluffy towels and everything, that's not going to make any difference to those scamsters or thieves out there that prey on these little, you know, one-stop shop mom and pop Airbnbs. And that's where Airbnb and VRBO do not give a shit about you. Trust me. You know, they're more concerned. They will give away the store to a customer, to your tenant. They will yank money out at the slightest pretext. And we've seen that over and over again, which is why we do not rely on Airbnb. And as far as them helping you set up your Airbnb, yeah, you'll get somebody who's 21 years old, who just got out of college with an English degree, helping you with that.
They're following a script, Mike. You know, they don't have the real world experience like this kind of stuff. You think Airbnb is going to tell you about the scammers? Of course not. They don't even want you to be thinking about that.
Right. They want you to have this sort of Hallmark Lifetime television series, you know, where it's kind of, what do they call that? Gauzy little candles and then you see everybody's, you know, clean cut, you know, professional people there. No, you're going to get some real bums who may want to rent from you. And Airbnb is not going to filter them out. In fact, what we've done with one of our VAs, our virtual assistants in the Philippines, we've tasked them to identify people who want to rent from us, their LinkedIn profile, website where they work at, to eliminate the potential of having any scamsters call. Because if somebody is legitimately, and they're contacting us through Airbnb, they've gone to our website, they've seen what we're about, and they want to rent from us, they're more than happy to give you their LinkedIn profile, because it validates from their perspective that this is a, you know, first class professional operation when we're asking them to give us their bona fides.
Yeah, it's amazing how much you can find out about someone just by going online and looking at those profiles. If you're an employer and you're not checking out people's Instagram, Facebook pages, you know, you're missing such a great source of information to really find out who you're talking to.
Exactly. So look at folks, if you want to take the jump into short-term rentals, it is a good opportunity, but there's a lot you need to know. And here's the last thought I want to give in terms of Airbnb. There are certain, first of all, professional people do not want to rent a short-term house in the ghetto. Okay. That's number one. We have a couple of properties in Forest Hill, which are on the East Cleveland side. In East Cleveland, huge parts of East Cleveland is a ghetto down in the down the hill. I mean, it's in the whole city's in the stages of basically imploding and being taken over by other municipalities. But up on the hill, there is a sliver of East Cleveland, Forest Hill, which is first class. You know, imagine, you know, Brooklyn. There were parts of Brooklyn that were great, and there was parts of Brooklyn which were not so great. And that's what East Cleveland is. But people, we've had people contact us and say, oh, my God, I just realized that I booked my Airbnb in your house in East Cleveland, and friends of mine told me that's a ghetto. People are not going to rent a house if it's in a sketchy neighborhood. Right, Mike?
It's all about that local nuance. You know, you look at a zip code, you look at a city, it's not as simple as that. And that's why you need to deal with an expert.
Right. And so before you get your pie in the sky, your pumpkin pie in the sky, you know, for your property, be very careful about where you're buying your property to set it up as your short-term rental. It should be close to a first-rate hospital. That's number one. In a safe neighborhood, you can always determine if it's in a good neighborhood or bad. How many Starbucks coffee places are there versus how many dollar stores? Okay, that's usually a good indicator of the quality of the neighborhood that you're buying in. So, what other just general thoughts, Mike, about short-term rental?
Well, you know, I think that you've given some good examples of where your location is. And of course, the three most important things in real estate: location, location, location. Some other ideas apart from hospitals, you know, when you look at where yours are located, you know, you're close to businesses, you're close to the downtown area, you're close to the university, various universities right there on University Circle. Other considerations are, you know, places where people might want to do a short-term rental for a getaway. Remember during COVID, Mike, you had people huge coming in from New York City who just wanted to get away from the hustle and bustle, the densely packed populated areas. So I think as you're looking at locations, you have to ask yourself, would someone want to come here short term, and why? You better be able to support the why. And I think, you know, I don't want to give away too much of your formula, but test marketing, you know, this is just something as simple as test marketing. I've heard you talk about this where you say, you know what, we'll throw a listing out there, you know, on various platforms or one platform just to see, you know, what kind of reaction we get from it. So I think that the idea of test marketing is something that you really should ask Mike Riley to explain to you in more detail.
Right. I think realistic, let's get to, you know, this is kind of a semi infomercial because we're pitching our consulting. Folks, you can go on RileyProperties.com, R-E-I-L-L-Y, RileyProperties.com, and you can see what we're doing there. Our average home, let's say that's worth $150,000, we're averaging, our revenues are going to be around $30,000. So that's 20% cap rate. I mean, right, Mike? Do the cap
rate. Yeah, I mean, that's at least double what you would get by doing a traditional rental. That's at least double.
Right. So you're talking about $30,000 gross revenues on a $150,000 house. Okay. Now, you're going to need, if you want to set this up, you're going to need somebody like us as your consultants. And I would factor, when it's all said and done, you're probably going to lay out between $1,000 and $2,000 in consulting fees. The front end, getting you set up, and then ongoing helping you read the market, negotiate rates, where to go, et cetera, that, and in setting up your back office, your virtual assistants who can handle the utilities, how to hire a cleaning person, the lawn care, should you have the tenant pick up the lawn, the snow shoveling, the whole nine yards. There are all these little twists and turns that you have to understand about the short-term rental market. And that's the consulting that we offer at, you know, RileyProperties.com. Of course, if you want to buy a house in Cleveland, investment property, you've got Mike Ferrante, Century 21. Right, Mike?
That's right, 21Mike.com.
Okay, there we go. So we're a little bit of infomercial here. But it is a good opportunity if you're willing to be smart and do your homework to make money. And one of the last pieces of encouragement I can give people is that, ironically, for short-term rentals, the damage to your house is minimal compared to somebody who's there for a year. I mean, I've seen people, and I've talked about this in early podcasts, they'll have somebody there for 2 years at $1,500 a month, plus utilities. So less their property taxes and insurance and repairs. So you got somebody at 15. So what are you getting? 18,000 versus 36,000 on the short term. So they're making 18,000 less taxes and repairs, et cetera. And they'll have to spend 10 grand when they move out repainting the house. I mean, it's like they made no money after all that on long term. But with short term, most of with professional people in there, they're never there half the time. They're just, you know, they're just they're working all the time, visiting nurses.
You think of the wear and tear of a hotel room. Like when you stay at a hotel room, it's not like you're there, you know, beating the place up. Other than sleeping there, most people aren't in their hotel room. It's that kind of wear and tear versus the wear and tear you get from someone living in a house full time for one or more years.
Right. And, you know, the last thing I keep, here's another little crumb from the table, folks. The last thing, and the, one of the most important things is you need a website for your property, because what happens is a lot of times, like with Airbnb or VRBO, they'll actually go in, they'll see our house, and then they'll locate us on the website. And then we can deal with them one-on-one, which is a lot better. It's a lot cleaner. We can vet them, they can vet us. It's not necessarily about, you know, saving money on the Airbnb fee, which I'm more than happy to pay for. Airbnb people, I got no problem paying the commission as long as I'm getting something tangible for it. So Airbnb, in terms of generating leads, is fine. They do a shitty job of vetting people. And, you know, I got sort of sidetracked, Mike, but I was talking about our VAs and how we background check on the LinkedIn profile. We actually also check some of these people out to see if they've been giving ripping hosts, Airbnb hosts online. I saw one lady who had stayed at three places and gave them one star each. I mean, she was a chronic complainer. And we called her up and basically told her, you know what? We're not renting to you. I just saw how you've been ripping people left and right. And she was stunned. And thank God we didn't rent for her, because she could have tanked us as well. So, you know, how to maintain your reputation on social media, you know, with your place, because people are going to want to vet you, your website, maybe a video, maybe a TikTok. There's a lot of things you need to do that you need to know about. And Airbnb is not going to tell you these things. So final thoughts, Mike. And we'll wrap
this
up.
You know, I think that last point you made quite possibly was the most important, because we have become a society that buys things online. And when you buy online, what's the first thing you do? You read the reviews. So building that online reputation is so important. The reviews are so important. And I can tell you that having a standalone website where people can look at you, your history, your product, it legitimizes you to an extent that your average Airbnb or VRBO host doesn't have. You know, there's just a certain air of legitimacy when you have a website like Riley Properties. And I'm telling you, people look at it. You know, ask yourself, last time you bought something online, what did you do? People are going to behave the same way that you do. You read the reviews.
Right, exactly. So look at folks, there's a lot out there. There is a lot out there that you need to know before you jump into the short-term rental market. And we're here to help. We're here to act as your consultant. So, you know, keep that in mind. And also, one more pump to Mike. If you're looking to buy an investment property or a home in Cleveland, these are the guys to go to. No bullshit. I mean, they're going to speak plainly to you. Mike, listen, we got one more podcast to do, and then we got to get ready for the big Michigan-Ohio State game. And folks, we'll see you next week with December heat check. All right. Thanks, Mike.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Cleveland Real Estate Investor Podcast with Mike Riley. Please add our show or follow us on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcast, or Spotify. Leave a like or comment on the video. All engagement is appreciated. Subscribe to us on YouTube as well for video content coming soon. For any Cleveland listeners or Cleveland Browns fans, you can check out our other podcast, Cleveland Browns Anonymous, for our weekly group therapy session. This is also on all the same platforms as the Cleveland Real Estate Investor.